Okay, I'll have to get a clarification, because it is deferred levy, because the way I'm reading it, it appears.
Well, to answer your question, Mr. Cole, as you know, the county allocates 4 EDUs per acre. To the extent a developer wants more than that, the developer must pay for upgrades. That's what happened at Sterling Crossing. That's what happened at the condo portion of Sea Chase.
Well, they had to. I mean, it still exceeded our plan, and past councils ignored the plan and granted higher density, so they had to do something there at this situation. But right now, the way I read it, there is not capacity. It is 4 units to the acre, based on the plan.
That's what the capacity study shows.
Okay, and your comments are that you'd be willing to pay more if we approve it.
We would have no choice. We would have to. If we can't provide sewer to all the units, we can't build them.
My understanding that we've got some serious problems in that West Rehoboth sewer district, and possibly it wouldn't be able to accommodate it.
That may well be,
even
but
with all your money you would spend on
the project cannot go forward without committed sewer capacity.
Okay, so I guess we could ask for additional comments to clarify that, to see if there is a possibility to, or how bad or how serious are the issues with capacity in that area. The other thing I read through this, the school district does say back in 2013 that they were at or near capacity currently, and you're saying that there will be no children in this community?
Please hold your comments, laughter, etc.
I'm not saying that. What Mr. Lockwood said was he believed the pricing of the units in this development would exclude most school-age family because the budget would be too high for a home.
Well, we do have affluent families, as you well know, in that area. I know in Canal Corcoran, I think a school bus does stop there. There are school kids in that, and it's pretty pricey.
It certainly is.
Right, okay.
Since 2013, Mr. Cole, don't forget.
So basically, your response to the plus comments was basically you don't expect to have any children.
No, and oh, by the way, there is a new school about to be the subject of final site plan approval from Sussex County. You all voted to approve the conditional use this past spring, directly across from Beacon Middle School.
The you're basing your density on some of these other similar projects that were approved over 10 years ago. Is there anything more recent in densities to what you're close to?
There's nothing else in the quadrant, Mr. Cole.
Right.
This is the last piece of real estate.
How can you justify, say, with all we know about all the problems with traffic and it sewer capacity, et cetera, why is it in the county's best interest to keep increasing the density?
It's not a question of increasing the density. It's following your comprehensive plan. It's following the state strategies map. And as I pointed out, road improvements only follow development projects. DLDOT will never be ahead of the curve and build new roads before there is development.
Right, okay, but at 4 units to the acre, that would be development. I mean, I'm just trying to justify the additional density in an area that, like I said, our sewer capacity study doesn't recommend that.
Well, we don't know that until we hear from the engineer's office, okay. Mr. Cole. The point is, with respect to the 3 developments that are to the southeast of this property, none of them have as a neighbor a 35-acre commercial parcel or a 20-acre parcel committed to
Wait, Sam's amusement park's going off.
Committed to medical or professional office space.
It also suggested from the state's plus report that the your forested areas are fragmented and don't really, aren't as beneficial as if they were not maybe more tied together somehow. On some of the things that you said, you kept modifying this plan due to county and maybe state recommendations. Could you tell me some of the things you modified from your original concept and what they were and how this is an improvement?
Yeah. Sure, Mr. Cole. Well, it's gone through a couple different iterations. As Mr. Lockwood has stated, there was somewhere around 240 units initially. And basically just dealing with the PLUS review and also the planning department review and TAC comments, we reduced some of the unit densities. We tried to incorporate within some of the block areas, a portion of wooded area to remain try to utilize that for some filtration or stormwater infiltration systems, natural systems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've also incorporated some comments from Janelle's office in regards to adding some additional sidewalks and connectivity to the community area.
Yeah. One thing, Roger, you forgot to mention was the location of the single family portion of this development.
Yes, that's a good point. Actually, I have those calculations, Mr. Cole, that exhibit book that I gave you. Can I take that?
Here, you want it back?
I have them written on it.
No, go ahead. Take it. I can share it.
Okay.
Point I'm trying to make is that the plan was redesigned to locate the single family component of this project next to the single family development of Sea Chase.
Mm-hmm. And just in support of that, if you look at this, it's more of a transitional type site plan with the single family units clustered along Warrington Road and adjacent to the estates of Sea Chase, which is a single family condominium. And if you were to look at the what would be the east-west road that's halfway in the site, and you would do a math calculation based on that being like phase one, we'll call it, you end up actually with a density in the front portion that is about 3.4 dwelling units per acre, so it's actually has a less density than the neighboring estates of Sea Chase project.
And where your larger density is next to the CR1 BB campus and the conditional use where medical and professional offices are going.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's all for now. I got still thinking.
Mr. President, ma'am, could you, from the site plan there, would you mind pointing out for the public record here, just, you know, I see towards the front of the entrance of the single families, but you could point out the different types of dwellings that you're going to have
sure.
in the community, please?
Just get this back online. In the front portion are single family condominiums. And they're basically, there are 60 of those units proposed, and they're all clustered towards the front of the project along Warrington Road. As you work yourself towards the north, there are townhouse condominium units, and most of these buildings are similar. There's two different building styles. Some of them contain six units. I think there's a couple four-unit buildings as well. Let's see if I can pull that down a little bit.
And how many townhome condos will you be having?
Townhomes, there are 82 townhouse units proposed. And then in the denser area behind the community facility, there are apartment-style condominium units. There are four buildings, and they represent 60 units.
16 per building? Is that what I just heard?
60 units.
Oh, 60.
It'd be got 15 it. Per building.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from council?
Am I reading the Del Dot report here? They were estimating on their traffic count on the first page. Is it? Did they assume a development is 154 units? Is that what I read in the second part there?
Which letter, Mr. Cole?
Is that number five in the first page of the support facilities report?
Right. That was based in order to go through the zoning process. That's one of the first things that's required is to file that application mm-hmm. with DelDOT. And at that time, we didn't have any specific site plan, so they were just generating numbers based off of the proposed zoning. And existing zoning, but then we were able to meet with them and share our site plan and also our traffic estimates with them.
Okay, and the current level of service right there is what?
Let's see if I can find that real quick.
Yeah, where I'm looking for right now. The current and the proposed.
I think this is the report that's up on the screen now that you're mm-hmm. referring to. Mm-hmm. I don't think they identified any deficient.
They didn't give it a zoning or a level of service. A lot of times they used to always provide levels of service. I don't see that.
Yeah, I don't see where they did that.
Any other questions?
I guess they don't have it. You don't, they didn't
I don't
provide
know.
It.
Can I go back to that map again?
The site plan?
Yes. What are they mean there about wellhead site?
Oh.
That's the city of Rehoboth's wellhead site. That's where the city maintains a production well.
Does that mean they've got sort of want to keep that land forced there?
Roger can tell you he has met with, I believe it's Howard Blizzard.
Yes.
You want to summarize that?
Yes. Actually, there are two mapped wellhead source water protection areas on the site, two independent areas. One to the west is associated with the city of Rehoboth wellhead site.
That's on the left. Huh?
It's on the left. The one on the right is associated with the Tidewater wellhead site that's off of Old Landing Road that you're probably familiar with. Generally, development in those areas is going to be subject to meeting the requirements of Chapter 89, the Source Water Protection Ordinance. And what I can share with you is generally that ordinance, what that ordinance states is that developments that are proposing less than 35% impervious cover, the ordinance has no impact. What we're envisioning with this current version of the site plan is the city of Rehoboth wellhead site off to the left. It's more of our single family community. That area is going to be less than 35%. So we don't expect to have to do anything special in that area. Now, the Tidewater area encompasses more of the densified section of the site plan. So we would expect to be in the 35 to 60% realm, which means we got to submit a detailed hydrogeologic study. Basically, what that study is going to do, it's going to say you have to recharge your site to pre-development levels. And that actually shouldn't be a problem because all the indications are that we have great recharge, deep well drain soils, great recharge potential on the site.
But Tidewater is providing the water service, so there's an economic bonus or benefit for them. I mean, I can't believe they're going to make it difficult for you to develop because they are
well, that site, actually,
part of the project.
That study goes through and it's reviewed by, I believe, the Sussex County. It's part of the it's Chapter 89.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Do you have any idea?
It's a section of the code that they would have to comply with if they are granted the application that they'd have to comply with prior to site plan approval.
Yeah. It's a county engineer's review, Mr. Cole, but that's preceded by the State Board of Health and by DENREC passing on the application. So the county is the last stop in that equation.
Mm-hmm. We spent about a year working on that.
Probably longer than that, Mr. Wilson. This is only a preliminary site plan, and as developers know, the distance between preliminary and final site plan approval can be years.
I'm talking about your wellhead.
Okay. If there are no other questions from council, I'm going to ask for the public input. Were there any other comments? Hearing none, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone here that would like to speak in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? I see some hands go up. Why don't you come to the podium and give your name and address. When you come up to speak, there is a spot to sign in when you come up. And give us your reasons.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Wayne Badalino. I live at 19669 Pine Lane, Rehoboth. It's a small, basically private lane off of Warrington Road. The problem I have here is the traffic. It's horrendous in the summer. In the winter, we don't have any problem. I can walk out to get my mail in the morning, and from right down from me at the corner of Warrington and Old Landing Road, you have a backup. And it goes down past my lane, and I keep looking north up to a bend in the road where the Rehoboth Well is, and it's bumper to bumper. It'll take you a good 20 minutes to go that short distance to get to my lane. And you have the main two lanes back and forth. However, they have now made a new lane. We would call that the edge of the road that you're not supposed to drive on. So when I go out to get my mail in the morning, I've got to look over my shoulder because they will drive 20, 25 miles an hour down the shoulder of the road to get the four-way stop to make the right-hand turn. And here we have a development. They talk about density. They talk it on the old landing road. And they talk about adjacent to the BB. But they said nothing about the density on Warrington Road. Across, single-family houses. Further north, we have farmland. There is no extra houses with a large development dumping on the Warrington. So here we have 203 new residences going to come out. So if affluent, they're going to have a couple cars. So we're dealing with, we'll say, over 300 cars going and coming each day, constantly. And the traffic there, it's DelDOT has dropped the ball. And they say, we don't need a traffic study. They do. When people are driving down the shoulder of the road, using it a lane for traffic, something's wrong. And so I'm just going to do that short and sweet, and I'll be done. And let me put my name down, and I'll leave the podium.
Okay, thank you. There were some other hands. Sir, won't you come forward?
While we're waiting, Mr. President, just one question, may I? Are we allowed to require DelDOT to do a traffic study on before we make decisions like this?
That is DelDOT's jurisdiction. We have asked in the past for them to make comments. And in fact, the letter that was referenced today was a result of the council asking the county administrator to send a letter specifically on that.
When that P&Z asked that?
Yes.
Yeah, not the council. We hadn't heard it yet, right? P&Z.
Oh, no. This was the letter referenced today that Mr. Byard referred to was the letter from Osprey Point that Mr. Lawson had written and requested. Sir?
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. My name is Harvey Greider. I live at 35473 Mercury Drive in Rehoboth. And today I represent the residents of Sterling Crossing on the issue of zoning change number 1780. I would like to thank you all for giving us the opportunity to speak again, because we did present our feelings to the Zoning Commission, which is in your packet, and our opposition, our strong opposition to these changes for Arbor Lynn. We have three major reasons for our opposition. One is the density. It's the density in that area is so strong already. What we do not need is 200 and some more houses, when there's 100 and some houses across the street going in and over 300 houses going down the road at a golf course. Which leads us to our second problem, is the lack of infrastructure / road improvements. We can sit here and listen about DelDOT is going to propose this in 2017 and 2020, and it won't happen. We can wait and hold our breath for DelDOT, but do we, the residents in that area, have to suffer by putting in hundreds and hundreds of more homes, hoping DelDOT will say, oh, we're going to come up with money now to do road improvements so people don't get killed in your neighborhood? Which leads me to another problem, is quality of life. We have the beautiful trees. We have everything going in that neighborhood now. The environmental impact of this, we think is going to be unfortunate for those of us who live there already. But part of that quality of life is, if you, I don't know how often you go to that area. I've heard Ms. Deaver says she's there all the time. In the summertime, which is not just the few months of summer, we're talking from April until the end of October. The traffic from Thursday to Sunday in our area is astronomical. And we've seen situations where an ambulance will come, Airport Road, to come Old Landing Road, to go down Warrington Road, and cars don't get out of the way, and the traffic is so thick, the ambulances can't even get through now some days. Is one life worth more houses? Taking away the quality of life we have now. All we're asking you to do is consider the residents who are there now and protect our lives. And we, the voters, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I do have a question.
Yes,
if I may, you referenced environmental concern. Could you share what that is specifically?
And what I'm talking about environmental concerns is the quality of life. Those of us who live there now, it's beautiful this time of year because all the migratory birds are coming into the fields and the trees that are there now. It's a place where they've come for centuries probably on their way south. That's an environmental issue to me. The trees are environmental to me because they keep the water quality in our area good. The trees will be gone. These trees are so old and so beautiful, if they have to cut down some of the trees to build the houses, since the root structure is all together, what's going to prevent these other trees from falling or having to be removed also? This is all environmental issues as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Next speaker, please. Sir? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Okay,
won't you plan to go next, okay?
Hi, my name is David Walters. I live at 34948 Warrington Road, and I am diagonal to the proposed entrance to the development. I bought that property in 1994 and built my house in 1996, so I've been there just about 20 years. Needless to say, I am not Del Dot, but I feel that I'm well qualified to speak on the traffic and the impact that the developments in that area have had. My main concern is with the traffic. Like I said, I've seen that traffic. It's now almost 7 months out of the year, and I've seen many surveys as well and traffic studies. Unfortunately, I've always seen the traffic studies being done in February on a Tuesday or March on a Wednesday. I wish a study would be done in July or August on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. The traffic literally in front of my house in July and August from 9:30 or thereabouts in the morning till 6 o'clock at night is bumper to bumper. And one of the issues that was brought up is a very main concern that I have. The side of the road is no longer used as a side of the road. It's used as a turn lane, a right turn lane to go down Old Landing Road, and cars speed by my house at 30 to 40 miles an hour. I've replaced my mailbox over 10 times in the 20 years that we've lived there. So it's the main thing with me is the traffic. I am not opposed to what many people are about the development. I think that anybody should have the right to develop their land. So be it, if that's what they think, you know, that they should do. It is the density that I have a problem with. It's already there, you know, it's AR1, and the density in that area is just overwhelming the infrastructure of the road. Now, it's important, an important note that I wanted to bring up is that about 10 years ago, approximately 10 years ago, I have a little over an acre of property, 1.06 acres, and I built my house to one side. I had proposed to put a pole building, which I was qualified to put on the other half acre that I have remaining. DelDOT sent out a person to survey the road because I wanted to have another access to the property, and I have 209 feet of frontage, as opposed to some of the smaller lots. This was, again, approximately 10 years ago. I was denied another access to my property because it would have too much impact on the already busy Warrington Road, and this is 2005. So I've listened, you know, with great intensity of the proposal, and again, I'm not against development, but I am against the density change. Simply stated as well, the other reference developments in the surrounding area where the density has been changed have other access. In other words, they can access their developments through Old Landing Road. BB Medical Campus can access through Route 24. This proposed development of 203 units will directly impact Warrington Road, which is already severely overwhelmed. And I understand from what I've heard and listened to today that DelDOT won't consider improving that road until development comes along. Well, that sounds just a little bit like to me, of putting the cart way ahead of the horse, because we already have a situation and problem there. It's just not guesswork that it will cause a problem. There is one. And other than that, the environmental impact and whatnot, I've already seen, like I said, I look across the street and look at those woods every day, and I have for the last 20 years when I come and go. I've raised my children there. The development that is now ongoing directly behind my property, I believe it's called Redden Ridge. It was under site development, and I used to see herds of deer in that field, whether it was soybean or corn and other wildlife. They're all gone. I don't see that anymore. And as far as across the street, the trees, I'd like to know just how many are going to be taken down, because it's all wooded land right now. And, you know, the environment has to be of some sort of concern with us. However, again, I'm not opposed to the development of that land. I think anybody should have the right to develop their land. My biggest problem is with the density change. Okay. And the impact that that particular development will have directly on Warrington Road, which is not built to handle that kind of traffic. It's already a problem, and it's already a safety issue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
And next speaker, sir.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Richard Mihelcik. That's M-I-H-E-L, C as in Charles, I, C as in Charles. I live at 16 C Chase. You know, you've heard about the C Chase development. I'll talk to you a little bit about it. I've lived there for about 12 years since I retired, and I live there all year round. Let me say a few things. Let's start where the other gentleman left off, and there's a few issues I'd like to raise with you that haven't been discussed so far. Let's talk about the density issue just for a second, and I please ask that you consider this for your future consideration of this particular proposal. If you look at the single-family homes and the density that was addressed by the proponents, you're talking about the basically 60% of the development is single-family homes. They've acknowledged that by saying it's basically 3 to 1 acre. What that means, ladies and gentlemen, is that the rest of the development is more like 9 to 1, or between 9 and 10 to 1. That's simply what it is. The overall density is, as they noted, then what we're talking about is that whole other section that's roughly the 40, or a little over 40%, will basically have an incredible density. Note the nature of the developments. What I'd like to bring to your attention today is this. Remember, on the right here, Sea Chase Estates, Sea Chase, and Sterling Crossing. Down below, we have single-family homes. Then we have 6-unit townhouses, Sea Chase, is basically 2-unit carriage homes with some 3-unit carriage homes. But the vast majority are 2-unit. Sterling Crossing, all 2-unit carriage homes, roughly 100. There's no 6-unit anywhere. If you look at these 6, they'll say there are a few 4 over here. This isn't what we saw, by the way, before the Planning Committee, or Planning Commission. It was a different proposal, and they've made some good adjustments, I think, or at least in the right direction. We had two multi-story buildings, 50 or 60 feet in the initial proposal, that would contain those condos of 60 condo units. But nevertheless, look at the rest of it. You're talking about 6 units, 4 units. What are we talking about? 16 in each, or 15 in each of those 4 units in the center. And so when you're thinking of density in the future, please remember, this isn't 3 to 1. This isn't, this is 6 to 1 or Sea Chase or Sea Chase Estates or Sterling Crossing. What we're talking about here is more like 9 or 10 to 1, back where, by the way, that's Sterling Crossing, and this is Sea Chase on the right here. So please remember that when you consider your alternatives here. I'm not going to address the issue of traffic again. I think enough has been said about this. When I spoke before the planning council or committee. I said basically what we're talking about here is a situation that everyone said is absolutely correct. As in, I've been here for 12 years. I've lived it all. And these people aren't embellishing or exaggerating a thing. I've been in lines of 20 cars or 25 cars to turn on to Old Landing. And they're absolutely correct when they say, when you look at a traffic study, let's look at it in the summertime as well as another time of year, perhaps, because it's horrific in the summertime, horrific. If you want to go out, you go out to Route 1, go out Old Landing to Route 1 and go back up, even if you're going over on 24 to Millsboro. You never go out this way, Warrenton Road, never. And even this time of year, I've been going up recently for some other issues up Warrenton. I have to in the morning to get to some doctor's appointments. And lo and behold, I found it's around rush hour, it's horrific today, this time of year. And it wasn't that way always. And so enough is to be said about traffic. But one other point I would note. You heard one of the proponents say, talking about DelDOT, DelDOT has no plans at all for any of this right now. You looked at the Osprey letter that was written, and they talk in terms of, well, we're considering X and Y and whatever, but we're all also going to consider a turnaround. We're going to consider a four-way stop, exactly what we have now, and which isn't working. But they didn't indicate that those won't be considered. In other words, we're not certain where we're going or what's possible for any of us, and we can't live with this situation as it is. As was noted correctly, I think, by one of the folks that are recommending against this zoning change, is that we're talking about a situation now where we have all that Old Landing development that's still in process. Sawgrass isn't complete yet. They're still building homes. You've got Redden Ridge, which comes out on Old Landing and on Warrenton, 100 units, whatever. It's still in process. They're under construction now. And what about, let's just throw in the middle of all this 203 units. So I'm asking for your serious consideration and asking you to make certain that before anything is done, we get more than just, you know, some comment about, well, everything will work out with DelDOT and we'll help contribute to this and we'll help contribute to that. Let me bring something else to your attention that hasn't been discussed that I think is very significant. And that's sidewalks and storm drains. You know, curbing and storm drains. We don't have, interesting enough, in CCHASE, sidewalks, storm drains or curbs. And the problem with all of that is we have spent thousands and thousands of dollars. We heard all those builders' promises years ago when our community was being established. Folks, we have spent millions. I'm not exaggerating. I was the president for 4 or 5 years. We have spent millions on improving our community. We had major water leaks. It has nothing to do with the zoning issue here, but I'm saying if we want to talk a little bit about history, let's talk about history and builders promising. This was Rubino, by the way, you know, who was throwing homes up by the hundreds in the early part of this century. But in any event, we had a situation where it wasn't just those issues. It was roadway. It was storm drains. Because we had the same water retention type of issues we're having here. You have an issue here where you see those areas that look like they're trees in the middle of the single-family homes. Those are water retention areas. Are those trees going to be there? Well, before the Planning Commission, these gentlemen didn't suggest that they would promise to have all these trees remain there forever. And a comment by one of the opponents who had testified said, by the way, they don't have to do any of that. They could take them down. And if they're building a big development in the back, you better believe they'll do whatever they need to do to bring the proper drainage and whatever down to, or the utility lines and everything else out to the easiest way possible. It'll bring it to resolution. So what I'm saying is you look at the green areas that they say will be retained. The trees that you're going to see retained are the 20 feet that you see going around the development today and maybe some trees in the interior. But what we have today, and this is the other issue I wanted to stress with you, this is a totally wooded lot. This isn't a combination of farmland and wooded area. This is totally wooded. You're talking about 90%+ of this particular lot today is 75 to 80 foot hardwood trees, not pine trees, hardwood trees. And whether we talk about a buffer, you know, we talk about a 20 foot buffer. Before the Planning Commission, by the way, they had a 10 foot buffer. And then this is one thing I commend them for, making it 20. But still, when you're dealing with 75 or 80 foot trees that have no limbs, you know, going up, it's all at the top growth. If you had 10 foot buffer or even 20, you're not going to have that many trees to provide any buffer at all. This isn't a Leland cypress or pine trees or whatever it is. There's virtually no buffer. And I testify that there should be probably a 50-foot buffer if, in fact, you propose to go in this direction. I don't think that would infringe upon anything here, but it might move behind the homes and the townhomes to such a degree that people would have trees close to their homes. That wouldn't necessarily have to change the rest of the plans. So as sidewalk issues, important issues. The issue about kids, and I commend you for raising the question about the schools, and how do we know? Well, there aren't going to be school kids here. Everyone's going to buy here. It's going to be single-family or second homes, by the way. Who knows? Who can say that? Second homes, no kids. No. But I'll tell you what you do get. We have children in Sea Chase now that we didn't have before. We have school buses that used to come through the community. They stay out on the Old Landing Road now. But what we do have on weekends in the summertime, lots of kids. And guess where those kids are? They're on the road. The kids are on the roads. I'm not exaggerating. Riding tricycles and bicycles and skateboards and other toys that kids use on the roads. Now you'd think, well, the people in the community know better. It's a private road. People are careful, whatever. But guess who isn't careful? Other people coming into the community and trucks. FedEx trucks and UPS trucks, and they fly around the community. Where our president, by the way, whose wife is sick and he couldn't be here today, nevertheless has had the foresight to basically put stop signs throughout the community to make certain then that we weren't having people necessarily fly around the community and endanger the situation. But sidewalks are important. And the issue that came up before the planning committee or the planning commission was that we had to have a situation where these people don't make some open-ended comment about, well, we'll have sidewalks around the single-family homes. Now we're offering some more sidewalks around some of the other homes. Let's get it. According to the Planning Commission, they said they could actually mandate it, and that could be if it's necessary. And I'm suggesting to you that if you have any role to play in that with respect to zoning or whatever, ensure that whatever comes over from the Planning Commission addresses sidewalks, especially if there's any high density. You must have something for youngsters and others, whether it's summertime or whether it's school children, to have some enjoyment in the community. Okay. I think that's it, and I thank you for your attention and your courtesy in listening to me here today.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
The next person, please. Let's see, there's someone back there. Come forward, please.
Hi, my name is Robert Caden. I live at 14 Adriatic Drive, Rehoboth Beach, in the estates of Sea Chase. And I agree with all the previous speakers. I just want to bring up a few points. First of all, I also appreciate the contribution that the Hood family has made to the area. But my concern is, we have 35 acres of beautiful natural wooded area, not farmland, not any other kind of waterlogged land, it's farmland. We look out our window in Sea Chase, states of Sea Chase, and we see these beautiful natural trees. 20 foot of those trees, to me, would create an issue during a storm. It's going to weaken the root system of those trees. It's not very much. My house is probably not more than 20 feet from Warrington Road. We've already had accidents on Warrington Road. We have a line of trees behind our house. Cars have taken out 2-3 trees, stopped in our retention pond. That's the only thing that stopped it from hitting our house. So the additional traffic goes without saying would be an issue. My concern is, as well, I have a problem with DelDOT. I wonder where their priorities are. As most everybody does here, I'm sure. We're a small community, 45 homes, only about half of us are full-time residents. Last year, DelDOT found the need to force us to cut down trees on the sidewalk on the perimeter of our community, which, by the way, go nowhere. at a cost to the community of almost $10,000, yet they don't feel the need to do a traffic study before allowing all this development to take place in the area. To me, it's just not good use of time or money. As I said, I have the same concerns as everybody else, and just wanted to get on the record.
Thank you very much. At this point, we've heard issues on traffic, density, quality of life, sidewalks, storm drains, and buffer. Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Sir.
I'm Chuck Oaks, the estate of Sea Chase, 10 Adriatic. My concern is Redden Ridge, which is has an exit right across from their entrance, which is not an exit, of course. But they told me when I went in to see the sample on Sunday that that's the other exit. Redden Ridge was not given permission to come out onto Warrington Road, but guess what? There's another 100 cars. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay. I was like the auctioneer. I was getting ready to go, gone, gone, gone.
Hi, I'm Steve Dolnack. I live in Sea Chase, One Lee's Way. I know we talked about traffic and everything else. The last thing I'd like to bring up is that Old Landing Road and to Warrington Road is known as the Bicycle State Route 1, designated by the state. And we haven't talked about that at all. My wife and I have a family bike quite often. Old Landing Road is difficult enough. We only have a few little spots along the side of the road itself to bike where there aren't the rumble strips and things. But that's been designated by the state as a major bike path, and it stretches all the way up. So I'd like that to be taken into consideration as well. And before you make your final decisions, if you haven't been there already, please go out and see the site. With the height of the trees, the root system is 2 to 3 times the size of the crown, to where the width of the crown. So if there's a 20-foot buffer, and it's not the height, but if you have a 20-foot buffer and you have a tree with, you know, 15, 20-foot crown, you're talking about a 60-foot radius of roots that are going to be in a 20-foot buffer. It's not going to hold the tree as much at all. And when you see the forest and the area, I think you'll have a new appreciation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And is there anyone else that would like to speak?
There she is.
Thank you so much. I'm blessed with my neighbors here today. I'm Kathleen Baker from Sterling Crossing. I did not anticipate speaking, but I'd like to simply make a short statement about nature. Since moving to Sterling Crossing without, may I say, any advance knowledge of the Del Dot easement over Copper Drive South, or any proposed change of the entranceway to Sterling Crossing, all this is we have found out with the good offices of your staff who've given us access to the records over the last 3 years. We have informed ourselves. One thing I have noticed that attracts me and attracts so many people is the natural beauty of Sussex County. It's personified by Mr. Hood's woods, and I salute him for keeping them all these nearly 300 years. And I will tell you that we used to see deer and various rodents you might or might not like, owls, monarchs. The only monarch we saw and we've seen in the last 3 years was released at the Tunnel Cancer Center for a cancer celebration. They're gone. No deer, no owls. We feed the birds. There are very few birds left to come even now. So, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, is there, I think we've hit everyone, have we now? Is there anyone else that would like to speak? Is there anyone else like to speak? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
Before, Mr. President, may I ask, is it possible to ask another question or two of the applicant? Are we beyond that ability?
No, we have traditionally, once the applicant is given a presentation, we have not called the applicant back up.
Mm-hmm.
We can call on staff persons to look at the presentation that has been made. And that's traditionally the way it's been handled.
I only pose that because, you know, you have thoughts and you have questions as we progress through this public record, and I just have come up with a couple of other questions that I would love to ask, if permitted.
And in fact, I'm not sure that the attorney for the applicant is even here, so knowing that his presentation was done.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Well, we could leave the record open if
absolutely
we chose to, for anyone from council to ask any comments they want to ask.
Absolutely.
For a period of X days, and then when the record is closed, we can give everybody an opportunity to respond to those questions, if that
is correct. We have on times left the record open for specific purposes, questions that could be asked, and then we would have to give then anyone an opportunity to respond to that in writing after a certain
period
of time.
Do we need to ask the question now?
It would be preferable that the question, so it's specific.
Well, my question specifically for the applicant, obviously this is talking about a change of zone, i.e. density. And that's really what this applicant's about, I would say, is the density. So I just want some questions with some thought process as it relates to specifically the proposed apartment buildings as it relates to that density and really more so along those lines, because I would say, you know, right now there was reference made to, you know, no kids. Is this applicant proposing, is this to be an active 55 community?
That was not part of the application.
No. I'm just saying there's no other way to guarantee no kids, right, other than that. So, and I will tell you right now, if there's going to be apartments in there, there's going to be kids. There's no question in my mind. Not that that's even relevant in this decision process, but that was part of the public record. That was part of the comments from the applicant.
Well,
so,
if someone would like to, why don't we have to make a motion to leave the public record open for only for questions from council, either to the applicant or
staff,
to any state agency willing
staff
to do
or
it.
Staff.
Or
like
staff.
That.
Or staff.
I like
and
it.
We'll allow that open for X days, and then we'll close that. And then what normally happens is they would come in and then respond that we have received the comments from whoever, and then the public and the applicant has X days beyond that to respond to those things.
I got a suggestion, Mike. Why don't we defer and have those questions on for next week, because we've got this big booklet here to read, and that might raise some issues in our minds. So why don't we
we can certainly allow it open for us for a period of 15, 20 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I mean, we could state the questions we would want answered next week.
I mean, last time we did this a couple weeks ago, we responded, we asked those questions of Mr. Lang to get answers for us on things.
Okay.
So we can just, but if we do that, we could leave it open for only for questions from council.
Right. Yes.
For a period of time.
Right. Well, I think it makes, and Ms. President, that would be, we're just being presented with this information today.
Sure.
So the ability to come up with, we are all pretty darn intelligent, I'd like to say, as is the public, but the reality is we obviously will have more questions as we review the information presented here today. So
what do you do? Does council think that, say, a period of 20 days is enough time to let council review all the booklets and documents and testimony and ask any questions we would have?
Yeah, I'm going to have a question,
sure,
too.
Is that reasonable?
Sounds good.
If someone wants to make that motion.
I'll make the motion. We leave the record over for 20 days.
More questions,
from council. To
either
be
staff
for staff, agencies,
whoever,
or the applicant.
Period.
And then for a period of 15 days after that, for anyone
public
to
comment,
respond in writing to those
Question. Question. So that would allow anyone that opposed something that was stated
to respond to that. And the 15 days would start when we get all those comments and Mr. Lank or Cornwell, whoever reads them into the public record.
That is correct.
That meeting, and we go from there.
I'll second that motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlette, to leave our public record open for 20 days for any question from counsel to either the applicant, staff, or any agency involved in this process.
And we would have them in by when?
We got 20 days.
Within that 20-day period.
Mm-hmm. You know, yes. Mr. President, I'm really concerned about asking questions of the applicant because I believe that anyone in the opposition could state why didn't we have
you're
questions.
You're exactly right. So the questions would be of staff or any agency.
Yes.
All right.
That's a good one. Okay, will you second that same motion?
Mm-hmm. It's been made.
Because Mr. Moore's exactly right. If we had questions of the applicant, then we've got to have questions of the people who are opposed to it. I mean, you can't ask one without the other. So it could go on forever and ever.
Well, we can ask questions of those that are against it, too, could we not? I mean, questions are questions.
It's just the legal way of doing that is not.
Yeah. You tell me. We don't want.
No. Mr. Arlette, I think you're getting into dangerous territory where there would never be a public hearing ever closed. So there would be a period of time for questions of the staff and any agencies that were out there, public agencies to get questions, and after that a period of 15 days for anyone to respond to the answers that were
given to us.
They have 15 days after those are reported to council in writing.
Mm-hmm. That's the motion.
That's the motion. Right. That's your second. Still your second, Mr. Arlette?
Based on the recommendation of our legal counsel, I will say yes.
Okay. Any questions on that motion? Mm-mm. We'll take the vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll be at motion carried. Now the motion to defer.
So,
second. Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver to defer. Mm-hmm. I want to change the zone to 1780. Question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Arlette?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, also motion carried. Thank you.
Mr. President, I have a conflict with this next application.
Oh.
That man cut you my grass.
Oh, Mr. Richard? Really?
Not the attorney.
The attorney cut your grass.
But the applicant, I've got a relationship with him. With different.
So he has a service.
Sure. Say it again. You've got a relationship with him?
So
I
the
got a relationship with you.
My, we are digressing here.
I
think you all are tired, Mr. President.
Oh no, we're just getting started.
Man, got that coffee going.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this one they took action on.
Gee, that's a biggie.
The next application before the council is change of zone number 1781. Excuse me, the people in the back of the room, we're still conducting hearings. If you can leave the room, please, if you're speaking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This application is for a change in zone. The public hearing was held by Planning Commission on August 13th of this year. They submitted an exhibit booklet and survey, which I will hand out now. Comments that were provided included comments from the Utility Planning Department of the Sussex Conservation District, DLDOT with regards to support facilities report. At their meeting on August 27th, the Planning Commission did recommend approval for the change of zone from AR1 to CR1. Thank you.
Okay, is there any question? Are there any questions from council? And if not, Mr. Schrader.
You all should have let me go first. I scared everybody out of the room.
That's a good attorney right there.
Thank you, Mr. Arlette. Good afternoon, members of the County Council staff. My name is Dennis Schrader. I'm attorney of record for Riverview Associates, the third LLC, and change of zone application number 1781. You all have been handed some informative material that were in booklets that we introduced to the Planning Commission, and which provide you with some sense as to what this application is, unlike the last application, which had a number of informational and technological presentations for you. This is a run-of-the-mill garden variety old-school change of zone application. I have with me Jeremy Smith, who is the authorized representative of Riverview Associates, and I would like to review just a couple things with you. The applicant is Riverview Associates III, is the owner of the property as well as being the applicant. The property is located on the southwest side of Dagsboro Road, about 900 feet south of Fire Tower Road, and is approximately halfway between Millsboro and Dagsboro. The site that we propose to have rezoned this afternoon is 3 acres. It would be contiguous to and combined with a 5.03-acre tract, which is already zoned commercial. The present zoning designation for the site is AR1 Agricultural Residential, which would allow 4 single-family dwellings. That is currently what is on site. We are proposing the CR1 designation, and for some of you who are old-timers like me and Everett, you'll remember that C1 has been closed and CR1 is the new designation for commercial uses. The purpose of this application would be to provide a site to support generally the growth in the area with small-scale commercial retail or office uses. It is not intended to be a giant store. It is not intended to be a big commercial center of any kind. This property is designated on the County Comprehensive Land Use Map as a town center growth area, and within the state strategy map for spending, it is in a level 2. The exhibits which have been presented to you include a copy of the application, a copy of the deed to the property, the boundary survey. There are site photos at tab 4 that allow you to see what the site looks like, and I'll point out to you with some amusement that there are billboards on the contiguous property, but as we all know, billboards are no longer an issue in this county for the time being due to the moratorium. And we were not seeking billboards anyway. There is a DLDOT transmittal letter and support facilities report, the future land use map, the strategy map, the area zoning map, aerial photos, and of course, a matrix of proposed findings and fact if you choose to favor of us with the granting of this application. At this time, I'd like to have Mr. Smith come to the podium. I'll ask him a few brief questions, and then we'll make ourselves available for any questions you all may have of us or in response to any opposition that Ms. Counts might have.
She's got a lot to.
Your name, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeremy Smith, and I live in Ocean View. I'm here on behalf of Riverview Associates.
And you've been authorized by Riverview to appear on their behalf this afternoon.
Yes.
Give me a history of the site, please, and the surrounding farmland.
Well, overall, this parcel consists of roughly 295 acres. 110 acres are in the town of Dagsboro. We were proceeding with development, then the market turned. We went to ask for an extension with the town of Dagsboro, and we weren't granted. So development is not happening on the 110 acres. The existing 185 is farmland, and that's where this house and outbuilding is located.
To be clear, the 185 acres that surrounds this application are not within the town of Dagsboro.
No, not in the town of Dagsboro.
Give me some description of what the area has by way of uses or other commercial activities.
Well, we are located on Dagsboro Road. Across the street from us is a church, a DLDOT maintenance facility, and a butcher shop, a short distance towards 113. There's a builder, a daycare facility, and the Country Gardens Business Center right there on 113 and Route 20.
Is there an auto body shop somewhere nearby?
Yes, that's in the business center.
Okay. And are there any residential developments that are taking place in this area?
There is one coming on off of Thurgood Road, which is close proximity. It will be on Route 20.
And if you would please, for the benefit of the council, could you describe what the small-scale services are that you would anticipate that Riverview would have on this track?
Focus on the trade service, professional service, or medical, something with that the house could help somebody, you know, move a business forward.
And these would be the types of business that would serve the growing development or the growing construction in the area?
Yes, from Millsboro and Dagsboro.
But not necessarily construction companies, is that correct?
No, no set plans on who would occupy the property at this time.
Okay. And if combined with the other tract of land, would we have about 8 acres?
8 acres commercial.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Smith. You'll take a seat.
Thank you.
I have a couple more comments, and we'll see where we go with this. In summary, members of the council, what we are looking at is the combination of these two tracts of land, three from the change of zone application today and the 5.03 that is currently zoned commercial. As you can tell from the material that we have submitted, DelDOT has a level of service report that does not require a traffic impact statement. As you take a look at the textual matter that is contained in the exhibit book, this is consistent with the comprehensive plan update of Sussex County. It meets the purposes of an AR1 district, land use plan, and the state strategies map for spending, and the proposed findings of fact that can be found at tab 10 articulate for you that for the purposes of land use within this area and within the town center, this is an area for this type of proposed rezoning and type of use of the property because it is near incorporated municipalities. And within that area, it is possible to have single family townhouse, multifamily units to be served by small retail and commercial uses. That is our purpose here today, is to seek that rezoning. I have nothing further to add to your knowledge of this application, and we'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have of me or to have Mr. Smith answer them.
Any questions?
Mr. President, may I?
Certainly.
What public utilities do we have there? Do we have sewer there, public sewer right there?
No one does. It will be
Nobody does right there, correct?
No, it will be served by on-site septic and on-site water, Mr. Arlo.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, then, is there anyone else here that would like to speak in favor of the application? Anyone in favor of the application? Hearing none, is there anyone here today in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing in this matter. And if it's council's pleasure, close the public record.
We'll close the public hearing. Okay, rest of council, close the public record. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
Yes, an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsboro 100, Sussex County, containing 3.00 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning and zoning in the packet 1 through 7.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure, Council.
For adoption.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett, to approve change of zone 1781 for the reasons as stated by planning and zoning number 1 through 7. Questions on the motion?
I have one question on as it relates to the planning zoning. After reading their notes, it states, let me get back to that page here, forgive me. It states that Mr. Johnson did not participate in the vote. Do we know why? Was he recused? Was he not present?
I believe he was not present during that public hearing.
He was yes. Absent.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. That's just one clarification. I wasn't sure. Okay, that's all.
No more questions, Council? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I'll vote yes, and for the reasons given by planning and zoning.
Likewise, I will also vote yes per planning and zoning's recommendation, and we like to get more business. Yes.
Well, also, based on recommendations of planning and zoning, I will vote yes. Motion carried.
Very good.
Okay, motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Second.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs.
Yes.
Deaver. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Motion carried. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and thank you.
Mm-hmm.